אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Shalom Australia. Thought we'd start with some very good news. With the construction of the new Hakoa Club in Sydney, it's been announced that it will actually likely to begin construction by the end of this year already, paving the way for a possible 2023 opening, according to a Hakoa Club president, Stephen Lowy.
So this is fantastic. This is really, really good news, because we'll have a Hakoa Club back in Sydney. It will make such a big difference, huge difference to the community.
Absolutely. Everyone in Sydney would remember the old Hakoa Club in Hall Street in Bondi Beach. That was shut in the late 90s, early 2000s. And since then, this site was sold, and a new site in White City in Rushcutters Bay, which is also the home of Maccabi Tennis, that was purchased many years ago, and it's been a long time of submitting development applications, raising funds, and going through a lot of depths to get to this point. And in fact, the Land and Environment Court just gave its final blessing to the project last Tuesday, confirming development consent conditions agreed to between Hakoa and Woollahra Council for the $60 million plus redevelopment of the site. It allows for the construction of the club building that will serve also as a cultural and community venue. It'll have two heated swimming pools, 9 tennis courts, a pro shop developed and operated by Maccabi Tennis, a synthetic football field, which will be the home of the Hakoa Football Club, a fitness and wellness center, and enclosed multi-use courts.
Do you think they will have a kosher restaurant and a function center like the old Hakoa Club?
Yeah, dining and beverage and food and beverage facilities will be included, and there'll be a function room upstairs too. So there'll be
for how many people?
I haven't got it in front of me, but I think there was going to be two multi-use function rooms and a meeting room as well for community clubs. So probably fit 200 or 300 people.
That's wonderful. It may be the next venue for weddings and bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs in the Jewish community.
Absolutely. So $47 million has been raised so far by the community and major donors, and also a $7.5 million federal government grant, Lowy said. So the next step now is to complete major donor fundraising to reach the total amount of $60 million, and that seems likely, according to Lowy. There'll be a final fundraising push, and also encouraging potential new members to sign up, because it'll be very important, once it's open, that as many members sign up and pay the fees as possible to keep it going.
Well, there is another capital appeal, the Emmanuel School, wanting to expand and change. I was just wondering, I mean, a lot of people are suffering now during the pandemic. We are in a lockdown in Sydney, in a lockdown in Melbourne, and so many businesses and so many people are hurting. And I don't know whether we'll take the extra dollar to finance all those projects. That's just my thought, so...
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe the alumni who maybe once went to the school, or the families that are going there now, and their friends might support it. They're aiming for $10 million, and so far they've got a generous $2 million pledge from previous donors. So they've got a fair bit to go, but they're hoping with the community support they can have enough to build what will be a new three-story building.
And we're talking to Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at Australian Jewish News, and you're listening to SBS Jewish Update with Nitza Lowenstein. From really good news about the Hakoa Club and renovations or expansion of the Emmanuel School, not such good news, or we're talking about... 20 years since the Sbarro terrorist attack in Jerusalem.
Yeah, that's right. On July 29, Arnold and Frimet Roth visited the Israeli grave of their daughter Malki Roth and recited Kaddish. As you said, it's been 20 years after the Australian-born teenager was murdered in a Palestinian terrorist attack at a Jerusalem pizza restaurant, along with 15 other people, including 7 children. Life was heavy, Malki's father told the Jewish News this week, reflecting on the yard site. You're missing somebody desperately and feel awful about the fact that she's not part of your life. But this Monday, August the 9th, the secular anniversary of Malki's murder, Roth was back on Zoom and on the phone continuing his relentless campaign to see Alam Tamimi, the mastermind of the attack, extradited from Jordan to the US. The 9th of August, that's all about justice, he said. And Tamimi, of course, has been living free to this day in Jordan. And even though in the US, she faces charges relating to the death of 2 American citizens, Malki being one of them, and also an extradition request was issued in 2017, but 4 years on, Roth is still battling for governments to get Tamimi extradited.
Shane, news from Melbourne. Eva Besson, philanthropist and community icon, passed away.
Yeah, very sad news. She's very well known in the Melbourne Jewish community. Born in Poland in 1928, she moved with her family to Melbourne and later married Mark Besson, who arrived after World War II and later became a retail titan, while her brother John Gandel became a well-known property developer. The Gandel and Besson families would become formidable names in Australian philanthropy, within the Jewish and wider communities, and also in Israel. United Israel Appeal Victoria President Hayley Southwick and her executive this week described Eva, who founded UIA Victoria's Women's Division and served as its president from 1986 to 1989, as a stalwart supporter of Israel and the people of Israel. And of course, the Besson Families Foundation's commitment to Israel saw it fund many projects, including the establishment of a high school and high-tech hub in the Negev. And in Australia, the Besson Foundation funded everything from Alzheimer's research to the Jewish Holocaust Center, Bialik College, and many Jewish arts projects.
Shane, before we conclude our chat today, Natalie Portman has quit her latest film, Days of Abandonment.
Yeah, that's right, and it happened quite suddenly, with forcing producers to shelve the project last week. They were about to film one of the scenes, I think, in Woolara's main street, Queen Street, and the Israeli-born actress, who has called Sydney home for most of the past year, withdrew, citing personal reasons. Days of Abandonment had been in pre-production since April, aided by a $3.4 million federal government grant. So it's unclear whether Portman plans to remain in Australia now that she isn't in the film, or if she'll go to live in the USA or go to Israel. Nobody knows.
And we don't know what will happen to the movie, to that film. And are they going to give back the grant to the Australian government? That's also a good question.
That's a question for Scott Morrison, I think. not for me.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Keep well and healthy under this lockdown, and I'll chat to you next week. Thank you. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.